This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
All get together and pray for the peace on earth.
من غير العدالة مش ممكن نوجد السلام.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Valinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
Deborah Bell.
Glenn Holt.
Brian Levinka.
And on tonight's show, our look at the upcoming primary elections in Texas, who the endorsed candidates are, and why. In the first of a two-part feature, This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching talks with a man seeking refugee status in Canada from the worsening anti-gay violence in his homeland of Jamaica. This Way Out's audio file has artists Larry Block, Ron Romanofsky, and Horse. In the second hour, J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage presents new queer musicals, including an interview with the composer of Bear. But first, it's fundraising time.
Well, and we're asking you to call us tonight. KPFT is in its winter marathon, which is money raised to help keep the station on the air.
Until spring.
Until spring, right. Until right. The next time we need the money.
You know, we did really great last
week. We did.
Yes, we did. And we want
to all of you out there.
Yes, and we want to invite you to keep up the energy that Queer Voices has started off this drive with. 713-526-5738. Let you be the first caller to hear the phone. We'll hear the phone ring and someone will answer it and they'll take your pledge and you'll know you were the first one.
Were you singing last week?
Well, once again, we made a lot of money by me promising not to sing.
Okay.
And we'll do that again tonight.
You and me both.
Yeah. You know, one of the things they have as a premium this fund drive is a wonderful big bright green colored grocery tote so that when they say paper or plastic, you don't have to say anything. You can just show them your lovely KPFT green grocery tote.
Yes, that way, like I bring my old bags in again and reuse them, but that way, you know, you just put it in your car, you don't forget it.
I have canvas bags and eco-friendly bags and all of that from just about every chain in Houston. So you support KPFT, you get a premium. It's tax deductible. You know, a lot of people are looking towards tax time. This is something you need to remember. So it's so important that you do your part and pledge to KPFT, support Queer Voices, support GLBT.
Inclusion.
And
community.
And
events.
Uh-huh. And Jennifer getting to be on the radio, and people like Brian Levinka, who's so busy in the community. He's always out and about doing stuff.
Gotta raise the money.
And we've got to raise the money to stay on the air.
Never ends.
And, you know, we're doing new security things because we kind of needed to upgrade the system we have here. You know, KPFT, just like everywhere else, has to be more security conscious. We also want to make sure that we have the kinds of equipment and things that means that you get quality radio.
That's right. You want to keep me happy.
That's right. Keep the engineer happy. Pledge now. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. And, you know, of course, we're so busy talking about the primaries. And the presidential primary in particular is the big news. But we've got all these local races and endorsements from the Stonewall Democrats and from the caucus, the GLBT,
the GLBT Political
Caucus PAC. And it's important to know who those candidates are. Some of you may have already voted early. Early voting continues until
Friday at 7 p.m.
Okay. And then you have to wait until actually Tuesday, March the 4th, to cast your ballot if you haven't done it during early voting. And so you'll want to be staying tuned and listening to Jack and Jennifer talk about who those endorsed candidates are. And
well, and if not, between now and then, you can also go to thecaucus.org, and all of the endorsements are listed there. But if you don't have access to that, if you go to the multi-purpose center over on West Gray, there'll be someone from the caucus handing out our endorsement list there.
One of our lovely volunteers.
One of our lovely
volunteers. They're guaranteed to be lovely, whoever they
Absolutely.
Are. Male or female, they'll
That's
be
right.
lovely.
We're all tens on the radio.
This is right. Some of us are more tense than others.
Hell, I said ten, not tense.
No, I'm an 11 on the radio. And you know, you can be a 10. You can be rock our world just by dialing the phone and making a pledge. How easy is that? What is that magic number?
713-526-5738 or 713-526-KPFT.
Or you can go online at kpft.org and donate.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Yes.
And last week we had some wonderful people donating, and we exceeded our amount they had set for us, which was very wonderful. Thanks to all of our listeners out there. Thank you. Those of you who haven't sent in a pledge or made a donation, please do so tonight.
We
make a point to do so.
We had the people from Pride and Joy Antiques pledge, and they said they were Hillary supporters because there had been some talk about who was supporting who and all that. So that's what they said. You can make a comment when you pledge, or you can say, I want to be anonymous. We don't care.
Yes, and we will read it on the air.
We'll read that you want to be anonymous on the air and not say who you are. Or you can say, hey, I'm Larry Payne, and I love queer voices, and here's a $1,000 pledge. We would love that. One guy, it was a straight guy, you know, it was the queer eye for the straight guy kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
He loves his gay friends because they dress him well, and he gets a lot of good-looking
right.
women that way.
Or you could be Chuck Rosenthal. I mean, after all, he's still getting paid.
That's true. You know, I'm a little ticked that he is getting...
doesn't it happen all the time like this?
Taxpayers' money is going to defend him for these horrible deeds that he's alleged to have done.
Right.
Of course, I've not liked him for a long, long time.
Well, you know, he did do one good thing. He really screwed up the defense of 2106 in the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
yes, we owe him a great debt in his poor work.
Yeah, he defended the sodomy law, the Texas sodomy law, and it got over thrown out, and the entire country is free because of his screw-up.
And now we can buy sex toys in Texas.
Isn't that exciting?
And they based their decision partially on Lawrence.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know that for many of you, that was a big concern, being able to buy your sex toys.
Sounds like we should probably move on to This Way Out.
Getting interesting.
Before we do that, let me just touch on the fact that This Way Out works just like KPFT. They do the work, they bring you the programming, and then they say, hey, it'd be nice if you contributed some money. And we have been asked to support This Way Out financially, and donating to KPFT is one way you can do that. Support queer voices, and maybe we can make enough that we can add a little bit towards our share of This Way Out in news wrap. This Way Out is an integral part of this show, and if it's something you appreciate, you'll want to call during news wrap, 713-526-5738.
Yes, do it, because it sounds like Deborah's getting ready to sing that number. So,
oh, God, please. call.
And, of course, you're listening to Queer Voices.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 23rd, 2008. It's not clear if the resignation of Cuba's leader, Fidel Castro, this week and the assumption of power by his brother, Raul, portends an improvement in the lives of the country's LGBT population. But there have been signs of change in the past few months. In November, Raul's daughter, Mariela Castro Espín, director of Cuba's National Center for Sex Education, said her father supports letting gays serve openly in the military. In December, two Havana lesbians were symbolically married in the courtyard of Castro Espín's Sex Education Center, a first-ever same-gender union to receive support from a government agency. And Cuba's culture minister, Abel Prieto, recently expressed support for same-gender marriage, according to a February 6th report in the Miami Herald. "I think that marriage between lesbians, between homosexuals, can be perfectly approved," he told the newspaper, "and that in Cuba, that wouldn't cause an earthquake or anything like that."
But who's at fault for a recent series of earthquakes in Israel, Lebanon, and Syria? Gay people, of course, according to Shlomo Ben Isri of the ultra-Orthodox Shas Party in Israel's parliament, or Knesset. Four tremors rattled the region in November and December, and two more shook the area last week. During a discussion this week of earthquake preparedness, Ben Isri told his Knesset colleagues that aside from reinforcing buildings, a cost-effective way of averting earthquake damage would be to stop passing legislation on how to encourage homosexual activity in the state of Israel, which anyways causes earthquakes. His comments have been widely ridiculed around the world, but Mike Hamill, who chairs Israel's Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Association, said that it is flattering that he attributes supernatural powers to us. Another Shas MK, Nassim Zaev, said earlier this month that homosexuals are poisoning society and that homo-lesbianism legitimizes the state of Israel's self-destruction. His party has also been trying to enact legislation banning LGBT pride events in Jerusalem. Several other members of the Knesset are calling for the Shas party to censure both Ben Isri and Zaev for their comments.
The announcement this week by Ian Paisley Jr. that he's resigning from the Northern Ireland executive has been cheered by groups working for queer equality there. Paisley Jr. told Hot Press magazine in a May 2007 interview that lesbians and gay men harm society and that he's repulsed by them. He was appointed a junior minister in the office of the First Minister and Deputy First Minister by his father, Democratic Unionist First Minister Ian Paisley Sr., and represents North Antrim in the Northern Ireland Assembly. His department is, ironically, responsible for equality issues. Paisley Jr.'s resignation was prompted by allegations that he lobbied on behalf of a property developer in a £50 million government land deal. He denies any wrongdoing and said he'll remain at his post until a replacement is appointed. Despite calls for him to apologize or resign for his homophobic comments, he said in a subsequent Radio 4 interview that his views were supported by the Bible and that he was entitled to express them.
But a legal oversight group in Spain has decided that a judge is not entitled to impose his personal views of morality in court. Judge Fernando Ferin Calamita ruled last year that a mother couldn't properly raise her children if she stayed with her lesbian partner. Her husband had discovered her in a compromising position with the woman. During divorce proceedings, the judge awarded him custody of the couple's two daughters. The mother will have to choose between her daughters and her new partner, Judge Calamita ruled in June 2007. It's impossible that two homosexual parents can give a child complete education. The body that supervises the judiciary in Spain, the General Council for Judicial Power, has suspended Calamita and said his behavior is under investigation. In a statement this week, the Spanish Federation of Gays, Lesbians, Transsexuals, and Bisexuals noted that, since the arrival of legal gay marriage in Spain, the law states that the custody of a child should be decided independently of the sexual orientation of the parent. Judge Ferin is also infamous for condemning topless swimming and nudists.
Almost 1,000 young people and other supporters paid tribute this week to 15-year-old Lawrence King, the Oxnard, California student shot to death by a classmate last week. Marchers carried hastily made poster boards with such messages as R.I.P. Larry King, Gay Pride, and Support, Love, and Tolerance. Two Hueneme High School sophomores put the event together in just 3 days and were surprised by the turnout.
We were expecting maybe 100 or 200 people, 16-year-old Courtney LaForest told the Los Angeles Times. This is incredible. Jerry Denenberg, superintendent of the Hueneme School District, joined the marchers. We forget the goodness that is in most of our kids, he said. This tremendous turnout by kids is an expression of their voices, their opinions. King, an eighth grader at the district's E.O. Green Junior High School, came out as gay this school year, and in recent weeks had been accessorizing his school uniform with feminine items to the chagrin of many other students. Shortly after the shooting, his organs were donated to several recipients after doctors declared him brain dead and took him off life support. A 12-year-old classmate, Aaron Mings, told the Times that King was an outgoing and funny kid who stood his ground. When people came up,
from his 1999 album, The Living Dead, and the song Not Good Enough. Kind of had to plug that in there in a hurry because something went wrong with This Way Out while we were playing it. This is Queer Voices.
I can't believe we have technical problems here at KPFT.
Technical problems.
You know, and if you were a long-time listener of KPFT, we used to have lots of technical problems. We'd be off the air a lot. We had reel-to-reel tapes that, you know, didn't sound good or had screeches in them. And you
or
remember
broke,
those days.
Kind of like this, yeah. Even though it was a computer playback.
Or, you know, we used to play some cassettes on the air. They sounded really bad. The microphones didn't sound all that good because we just didn't have the equipment. And, you know.
Now it's just the talent that doesn't sound
yeah,
good.
That's true. Oh. Exactly. Yes. Well, I'll admit to that. But the reality is we've come a long way at KPFT. Steve Brightwell has done some great work with the equipment. I mean, it's still not the most expensive, the most state-of-art, but it works, and it's pretty consistently good. Remember the CDs that never used to play? I mean, we still have CDs that skip once in a while, but not like it did in the old days. And the reality was that, you know, now you can, you know, make these CDs and put them on the air, and the quality's better. We used to have all these carts. Carts are sort of like old 8-track things, and they used to have problems, and they'd break, and all that type of stuff, or people walked away with some of our carts because they wanted to use it for their stuff. So we sound much better. And actually, we're also in high definition. We're digital,
wild?
Yes.
Yes.
So digital. Eventually, that's going to mean that we can split that digital channel into more than one channel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that over at KUHF so that there would be different programming on the second channel. So it'd be like two radio stations.
Ooh. We could do this twice?
Well, there'll probably be other people that will have opportunities that don't have opportunities now.
That's great.
To be able on there. Or, for example, if they want to do some, like, hearings, and we'll probably, hopefully, we're going to have a whole bunch of hearings when the administration changes next year and we get back into, you know, all the stuff that sort of slide, we'll start saying, you know, why did this happen? So it's possible on the second channel, if that's up and going, that we could be having some of those hearings and still do the regular program we do on the main channel.
And the thing to remember is that all of this is being made possible by your contributions.
Right.
Your pledges make the difference with the equipment that we have. The microphones, the talent, the building, our security.
We do get a little bit of federal money, but not very much, just a little bit. But there's always that threat that they're going to take that little bit of money away. And usually that money is for, like, grants to do something by new equipment, or and I'm guessing that the new transmitter that we got, you know, not too long ago,
right.
Or the increase of power.
100,000 watts.
Yes, we're now at 100,000 watts, so the signal gets out a little bit more than it used to, and it's not quite like a doubling, but it does get out a little bit. And in some of the buildings, like downtown where the signal was marginal, it's a little bit better now. Plus, we're online, kpft.org.
That's right. You can get a streaming audio.
And the archive, so you can listen to some of the shows that you missed up to like 2 months later, all the talk shows that are local talk shows that are produced. So that's really neat. I mean, we've really come a long way.
But the thing is, we need your pledges. We need you to call in now at 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-5738. KPFT, and you never know if you'll call now. You may get Deb.
Yes, our She's celebrity out. Operator. Our,
we have a celebrity operator out there. Deb's out there, and if you pay enough, she won't sing to you.
She'll be taking you. She and other people are out there taking names, and we actually have those telephones that ring like the old-fashioned phones, you know,
isn't
with bells
nice?
On them.
Very nice.
Yeah. So call us now, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Jennifer and I are going to talk about the elections like we know something about them.
Like we know something about that. You know, there's a number of things. First of all, the Houston GLBT Political Caucus, Political Action Committee, did endorse a number of candidates, a great number of candidates, over 40 candidates. You can find that information at thecaucus.org, and it's listed there. You can print it up from there. If you're over at the Multipurpose Center, there'll be someone there that'll...
Almost the entire early voting cycle.
Yes, be
there
for you.
Possibility, you know, at some small minute time, somebody may not be there. But for the most part, but at the same time, we got to say that KPFT is a nonprofit organization and does not make endorsements because we can't.
That's right.
But we're talking about a particular group that Jennifer's a president. I'm a part-time employee of that group, and that group probably has the most open process process of endorsements in the entire county. That people, and they only get endorsed if they ask to get endorsed and they go through a screening process.
I was going to say that, you know, that's one of the things that's so vitally important. And you hear about endorsements here and there. And again, you know, full disclosure, I am president of the caucus. But the process that was started in screening and endorsing candidates was started many years ago, and the caucus is over 30 years old, and it has not changed. If you want to be endorsed, you have to ask to screen. Once you screen, you have to be there to screen. Sometimes maybe a conference call will be okay, but those are in special circumstances. But you have to be available. The candidates have to be available to answer direct questions from the panel of screeners. And the screeners come from our community. You get to ask questions of the candidates that you want asked, that maybe you haven't seen asked. And those are the things that's vitally important. And when the vote is taken of the membership, it is the little d democracy, just as it should be. Everybody has a voice. Everybody gets to talk for and against any given candidate for endorsement. And then the vote is taken. So when you see those list of endorsements, that comes from a pure process of democracy within our GLBT community. And it's important that you know that, so you know how important the endorsements are, but how it came about. So, you know, search those out when you can. And you can print them out and take them to the voting when you go in early voting or to on election day. But again, if you happen to be on the mailing list, you may have already received it in the mail.
It's rather interesting, since I've been pushing those cards at the Multipurpose Center, which is one of the 35 locations to early vote in Harris County. It is the location that has the highest turnout, and it's probably skewed a little bit more to the higher income area. But it is still rather eclectic, because it is, you know, close to Montrose, close to downtown, close to the 4th Ward. So there is some, you know, mixture, but it's probably skewed a little bit higher. And there's a number of candidates who are also out there, you know, trying to get elected. So they're out there shaking hands and stuff. But it's my understanding that people are pretty much voting 4-1 Democrats.
Which means there may be some Republican shells in there.
Well, but there's also some Republicans who are a little bit disgusted.
Yes. Yes, they could be.
Yes, and it's interesting. I've seen a couple interesting bumper sticker. One says, you know, has the date of when the new president's going to take over, and it says end of an era, like in mistake.
Oh, goodness.
That's one of them.
That's great.
Yeah, one of my other ones is an upside down W and says the moron. And I mean, it's sort of fun to laugh at that, but it's sort of interesting to see that so many people are interested in change. The other thing is that, and you know, we're partial to this endorsement card. A lot of people are just voting for president, I'm guessing, my understanding, and then walking out and not voting anywhere else. But there's and then some people says, well, I'm going to vote straight Democratic, which this is a primary.
It's a Democratic primary.
Right,
or a Republican primary. You can't do that.
Right. You're basically choosing which Democrat and or Republican that will be in the fall election. If you want to actually work on getting an independent elected, then you really shouldn't probably vote in the primary. But it's rather interesting, because Texas, which never was play for the presidential election, there's a hybrid system. 70% of the delegates approximately are chosen by the popular vote, but then 30% are chosen by caucuses. And the caucuses, you have to go to your regular voting location, even if you vote early, the one that is your precinct, and then show up around 7 o'clock, and somewhere around 7:15 they will lock the door, so you can't come in at that time after that. And then you sort of choose the delegates who will then, you know, that is about 30% of the vote will choose which, candidate they're going to support. Also, if you want to bring some resolutions to the party, that's the time to do it. Now, in Texas, it's rather interesting because a lot of people don't vote in primaries, that you can, in a primary, vote in, you know, you don't register Democrat, you don't register Republican. When you go to a primary, you decide whether you want to vote in the Republican primary or the Democratic primary.
Right.
That does not preclude you from voting any way you want in the general election. However, if there are more than two candidates in a race and one of them does not get 50% plus one, there will be a runoff next month.
That's right.
So if you vote in the Democratic Party, you're only allowed to vote in the Democratic runoff. If you vote in the Republican, same thing there. If you don't vote in the primary, then you can still choose which runoff you want to vote in. So it's sort of a new experience to a lot of people.
Well, and a lot of new voters have come out, and they're coming out to vote for president, whichever party. And the thing is that what's important to also consider is that there are a lot of other candidates' positions up, and the down ballot. Everybody talks about the down ballot candidates are vitally important. Our lives are affected on a daily basis by those people elected down ballot. The President of the United States affects our lives, but the person that will affect my life today and tomorrow may be one of those people down ballot. Judges, precincts.
Well, and you talk about down ballot, but it's also, there's still some high up there. There's a senatorial race, a U.S. senatorial race that's open. All of the state representative races are
correct.
Open. All of the U.S. Congress races are open. There's some Texas Supreme judges open. There's a lot of county judges open. The county administrator offices are open, from county judge, which is basically sort of like the county president.
District attorney,
which is a rather interesting one. And not all of them have, on the Democratic or Republican side, have opponents, but they're all listed there. There's also, what other county offices?
Well, you have your county judge is up. You've got county attorney.
Yes.
You've got the county clerk.
The sheriff. Sheriff.
Adrian Garcia was endorsed by the caucus. A great city council member. That's why I mentioned that. Who has been, this was his last term as city council, who's running. You've got a county tax assessor collector. We've got the county school trustee. One of those, position five, is open. You've got a county commissioner's position. All of these affect our daily lives.
And I want to talk a little bit about my observation of what's going on in the presidential race in Texas on the Democratic side. And I've been it's rather interesting because you know, pretty much there's people just out there with signs, because presidential races, you got two choices that it's you know, so you don't really have a lot of people sort of pushing cards, but they're just basically having their signs out there. It seems, from everything I've seen, that the Hillary campaign is rather disorganized. If you read some of the articles in the New York Times, they talk about it. She apparently never figured that she would still be in the running at this time. She probably thought she had it grasped. Apparently, they didn't understand that Texas was this hybrid system, that you got both the popular vote and the endorsement. The caucuses. The Obama campaign seems to be a lot more organized. It's a lot more energetic. For example, Obama was in town last week, and they filled up a stadium of 17,000 people just like that.
Yeah.
There was waiting room outside, too. People were.
Yeah. Well, and too, when we talk about the hybrid system, if you will, and people don't understand that it is a bit on the complicated side, but it's a system that's been in place for a long time. No one thinks about it.
Well, and one of the reasons is because Texas was never in play for many, many years in the presidential election. And I am so glad that we didn't move our primary up to Super Tuesday, that it's happening now, and there's a lot of attention play to it. I mean, there is record turnouts. The other interesting thing is that this was written in Rick Casey's column on Sunday in the Chronicle, was that early voting is up everywhere across the state. But in the Hispanic border counties, it's up a little bit, whereas in the urban county, it's up a lot, the urban counties, which tends to be probably more Obama.
Well, another thing, too, when you...
But it ain't over till it's over.
It's over. The caucuses within there, the distribution of delegates, I mean, you have the election, the 70%, the other, but the distribution of delegates comes from how many people, Democrats, voted in the last election.
The last governor's election.
That's right. And so some districts, some areas, will actually have more delegates assigned to them than they would in another area because of the total number of votes cast in, for the Democrat in the governor's governor's race. And because we had that four-way split, in the last governor's election, it's rather odd the way that it breaks down.
Information on early voting, you go to harrisvotes.org, and you can download a map of all the 35 different locations. And you can vote anywhere in for early voting. If you're a Harris County resident, you can vote in any one of those 35 locations. They're set up by a computer, and they can check you off to see if you're registered. But on election day, you only can vote at your precinct.
That's right.
And those locations will also be at harrisvotes.org to find out that location. And you can actually look up on the Harris County website, you can look up your name to see if you are registered to vote and what precinct you're in. So all that stuff is available online, and I think there's also some phone numbers to call if you don't have access to
the web. Need to be grateful that you live in Harris County, that we have that ability. In some of the surrounding counties and other counties in the state, that's not possible. You would have to just wander around on election day to find out, because especially if they've moved your location to vote. I have in my... where I vote, my precinct where I vote, they keep moving it around.
And see, I'm lucky because I live right near KPFT, and I vote two doors down from KPFT at the Lovett Inn, which is a very active precinct. And a lot of people who vote in the inner city pretty much vote at the same time, although sometimes when they have small elections, they combine some of the... So you really need to look it up to see exactly where you vote.
Yeah, because it's finally important. The last city election, I went to where I'd been voting the last election, for governor, and it had a sign there, has been moved.
Luckily, there was a sign.
Ended up voting in a room off to one side at Vargo's.
Another thing is that since voting is so high that the lines, at least at the multipurpose center, is sometimes 30 minutes to an hour. As some places it's not quite as much, and I don't know at any given time what it is. There's a voting location downtown at the county administrative building at 1001 Preston, but there's 35 locations around the county.
Well,
the early morning time is probably the best time, between 7 and 9 is probably the best time to vote.
Well, I was going to add, too, because of this heavy turnout in early voting, we can anticipate that election day is going to be even more so. So at least during the early voting, you have some flexibility on when you go, and you know a location, or maybe pick out two early voting locations. So if one's backed up, you can go to the other. Just plan on spending a few minutes. Bring a cup of coffee with you and just spend the time. It's important that everyone vote. For whoever you want to vote for, it's less important who you vote for as it is that you get out and exercise your vote.
You study the issues.
Yes.
You study the issues so that you know some of the candidates and what they stand for. The League of Women Voters has some really good information on these. The Chronicle has done some endorsements. The Chronicle also usually does publish a voter's guide. I don't know if that's quite ready yet.
They'll usually do that on that Sunday before the election.
Yes, so it's not all of it, and they haven't finished doing all their endorsements yet, which is rather strange since early voting is already going on. So it's rather interesting for us political junkies to see what's going on right now. For example, the first day of early voting, there's actually a New York Times reporter in there. There's a couple TV stations in there. There's a USA Today reporter there. So it is sort of rather interesting to see that. Mm-hmm. And seeing people really sort of excited, that they actually have an opportunity to do some change.
I saw that you were quoted in an article.
Yeah, Channel 13, yes. And today Channel 11 was also doing some interviewing. Whether we got on the cutting floor or not, we don't know. So, it is real important. So, you know, we do want to remind you that we're talking about this stuff, but, you know, we're able to do this because of KPFT, because KPFT allows us to have this forum on Monday nights. There's also a show called After Hours, which is on Saturday night, Sunday morning, that talks about GLBT issues. And some of the other programs also occasionally talk about GLBT issues. But it's all part of Pacifica. The Pacifica Foundation. So we're asking you to pledge and keep the station alive and well.
Yeah, where else would you be able to find, at least where you can go to find out where our GLBT candidates are, the candidates who support GLBT issues? You know, there's a lot of shows on, but they may not talk about this because of who Pacifica is and the station that we want you to support by with your donations. That's where we have that opportunity. This is one of the few shows that is strictly for the GLBT community, and we have guests and events and tell you about the events of the community. We don't have the old newspaper that we had from the past that gave us a weekly event. So, you know, you hear it here every Monday at Queer Voices. And to, you know, you can get a calendar at Outsmart, but that's a month in advance, and it doesn't cover everything. We can let you know what's going to happen right away.
Yeah, most of us don't plan that far in advance.
I don't know about you. I'm still, what am I going to do Friday? But somebody will tell me. I'll hear something, or I'll get on the email, or I'll listen to Queer Voices. So I see that I don't hear the phones ringing.
The phones are not ringing. I just walked out there.
Okay.
And it's dead as a doornail.
Is Deb out there waiting to...
Deb is on guard. She's ready to sing.
She may start calling people at home.
Yeah. Oh, now, y'all better call in because if Deb starts calling you, you don't really... That's not the way it's done. Pick up the phone. Call us.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
What else do we need to tell people about voting before, you know, we move on to another...
You have to be registered to vote.
Right.
You can check that online at the Harris County website. The best thing is just do a Google search for Harris County. It is important that you vote. Ideally, you'll come back Election Day and do your caucusing. The caucus is going to have a party after the election for all the volunteers and people who may be interested in getting involved.
Absolutely. One thing you might want to know, if you can't find... If you can't find your voter ID card, if you're looking for it and you've mislaid it, go to Early Vote, take your driver's license, photo ID, and they will check the records, cross-reference in the database, and if you are registered to vote, they'll be able to identify you. So just because you can't find your card doesn't necessarily mean you can't vote and you won't have the opportunity to vote.
There is an event tomorrow, and I'm trying to look that up right now.
Oh, yeah, the phone.
That,
at Dave and Buster's?
At Dave and Buster's, and I don't know where exactly that is.
Yeah, there are two of them. There's one on Richmond and the Marquee.
I think it's the one on Richmond that they're going to have representatives for both the Hillary campaign and the Obama campaign.
Now, these are representatives. They're GLBT representatives.
Yes, talking about GLBT issues. It happens at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening, and we will let you know as soon as I find that information out.
Now, it's supposed to be, what I understand, they'll be there to answer questions, the representatives from both campaigns. They'll be able to answer questions as well as possible debate. But what's more important is they'll be able to watch the next debate on their big screen TV.
Right. And you're listening to Queer Voices.
And in case you haven't heard, with the Coen brothers for No Country for Old Men, Best Picture Oscar co-producer Scott Rudin ended his acceptance speech by thanking his husband, though we don't know if he calls him that, saying, "Honey, without you, this would just be hardware." Also among the 80th Annual Academy Awards, director Cynthia Wade and producer Vanessa Roth picked up the Best Documentary Short Subject Trophy for Freeheld, about the heart-wrenching struggle of terminally ill lesbian New Jersey police detective Laurel Hester to have her pension, which would automatically be inherited by a heterosexual spouse, transferred to her domestic partner. Will you be losing town when you turn up the fun with a red-haired girl? Hear the answers to that musical question later in the program. With life for gays and lesbians in Jamaica getting more desperate by the day, one leading activist decided it was time for him to leave. A year ago, he was one of four men trapped inside a pharmacy by an angry mob. And that was just one of the high-profile, escalating anti-gay attacks that have injured and killed dozens. So Gareth Henry of JFLAG, the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays, has fled the ongoing threats from police and homophobic vigilantes to seek refugee status in Canada. This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching talked with Gareth in Toronto, where since January 26, he's been sheltered by the LGBT organization EGAL.
I know that the situation for queers in Jamaica is not great, but can you talk a bit about what led you to the point of finally leaving the country?
Okay, for me, it has been my years of personal experiences, which have not been very good, and where I've been physically abused by members of the police force, have to basically in recent times been living in hiding, upon the heels of mob attack that took place last year, Valentine's Day, 2007, and where in that incident I was actually beaten by four police officers.
Wow.
And so since then, you know, my life has taken a downward trend in terms of where, you know, things are no longer the same. I've lost 13 of my friends have been murdered between 2004 and 2007.
Holy
and in 2007 alone, and of in 1 month, in 4 weeks, three of my friends were killed. So it has been a very tough year. And amidst I moving away from the public thoroughfare and going into the hills to live, you know, I've been the police still come and find me and terrorize me from time to time. So for me, my greatest problem or fear has been police intimidation and threats. You know, these threats have been reported to the police commissioner, and I've also been reported to Human Rights Watch in New York City, who also reports these incidents to the commission and asks for the matter to be investigated. But nothing has happened since then. And you know, what really pushed it to the edge was, you know, just before I came here, I was on my way to a JFLAG office one morning when stuck in traffic, and a man came across my window and my car and said to me, "Gareth, we're going to kill you. We know who you are. We're going to burn JFLAG down." You know, a statement like that, you know, really sent chills down my spine, and I was really devastated and afraid. I didn't know what to do at that point in time, because I think, you know, I've exhausted all the possible options that were available to me. I was already living in hiding, you know, I only leave my my apartment early in the mornings and go back home as swiftly as I can just to avoid coming in contact with anybody, but yet still, you know, people are able to point me out and continue to threaten me. With my involvement with JFLAG at the leadership since 2004, I have been the victim of numerous accounts of violence and intimidation by the police. So I really do not have much confidence in the police force. So, you know, it was extremely difficult for me to go back to the said persons who have been the perpetrator of violence towards me, to ask them to protect and safeguard my life.
Mm-hmm.
I would, the days when I was I didn't have anything to do in the office, you know, I have to stay inside my apartment. I didn't know what to do. I was afraid to really open the door. And I, you know, the two choices that I was faced with was, one, you know, to stay there and in Jamaica and knowing that it's likely that I will be killed, or going to a different country, and at least to an extent my safety, I will be safer other than being back in Jamaica. So I chose the latter, and you know, the fact that, you know, I want to experience a different kind of environment where I can be myself my rights will be respected and be upheld, and that I don't have to live in constant fear or in hiding because of who I am.
Mm-hmm. So what's it been like adjusting to being here? You know, having to run 2 weeks ago, not to mention, I mean, you're landing in Toronto in the middle of winter.
Well, the thing is, I spend most of my time doing some volunteer work with EGA. So that's where I spend my daytime. But I do the processing of my refugee claim paperwork. And I think a part of it is the fact that I'm in a space where I no longer have to be fearful of going outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easier, basically, to adapt, regardless of the climate. It's quite the opposite of what is happening now in Jamaica in terms of, you know, the weather. Here it's extremely cold, in Jamaica it's warm. You know, so for me, I think it's a reasonable compromise. So I've been settling in perfectly well.
Mm-hmm. A year or so ago, you did an interview with This Way Out, the syndicated gay and lesbian radio show in Los Angeles. And at the time, you were in the United States with a girl named Carlene, who was also in that interview. And Greg Gordon from This Way Out asked me to ask you how Carlene is.
Well, she's doing okay. She's just on her way back from a conference in Barbados. But the violence that is geared towards the gay men is not geared towards lesbians.
Hmm.
It's not, they tend to be less hostile towards females as opposed to male, but they do face a lot of challenges, particularly the younger girls. You know, oftentimes they ended up being raped, and this goes unreported and that kind of thing. But she can't do anything good. She's trying to decide for herself, you know, what's her next step.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy decision to leave your country and a place that you belong to. She also faces a lot of threats and intimidation from community members, and you know, which is scary. And but it's just for her to really come to terms with some things and make a decision for herself.
It's certainly a courageous decision in Jamaica to come out. In part two of his interview from Toronto with Heather Kitching, newly arrived refugee Gareth Henry shares his personal story.
I left my parents' house, my mother's house, when I was 15 years old because I could not deal with the violence in my community that was geared towards me. And when I decided on leaving home, there weren't 100% supportive, but a gay man was beaten in the town.
Next time on This Way Out. One artist makes his debut, and two stalwarts of queer musicdom add to their discographies in this edition of The Audiophile.
On the debut album by Larry Block, you'll hear a country pop sensibility you'll want to roll down the car windows and sing along with. Hi, I'm Christopher David Trentum.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. The name of the new album by Larry Block is Losing Town.
Ain't gonna settle down in this losing town. In this losing town. And knew it long ago.
Besides giving us infectious rhythms and melodies, the album has a lot to say.
Losing Town is a record that we recorded less than a year ago, and I think it's about love and survival, a little bit about the dawn after the dark, and about being human, and making the most out of what you have and looking towards the future.
You never shed a single tear all down the fun year. Call me when the coast is clear. It's all down the front here. And I've waited so long, I've waited long, baby, for your love to reappear. Waited so long, I've waited long, baby, for your love to reappear. And it's all downhill.
find out more about Larry Block and his album, Losing Town, at www.larryblock.com.
In the latest album by Ron Romanofsky, he's lost none of the political edge that we've loved since 1983, when the duo, Romanofsky and Phillips, became major voices of our culture.
In order to protect the sanctity of marriage, is it enough to keep the queers from getting hitched? Stopping there just puts the proverbial horse behind the carriage. Why not attack the problem at its very source? It's time to outlaw divorce. That's right, if we can't get married, you can't get divorced. If gay people can't tie the knot, straight folks have got to stay together till death do them part. No matter how miserable they are.
The new album is appropriately called Turn Up the Fun. And in addition to the politics, there's always the humor.
A lot of the songs on the new album are actually from a CD that Paul Phillips and I started recording about 10 years ago, around the time that we stopped performing, and I've always wanted to finish them. I think it's some of my best songwriting. And I also just really miss having a voice in the world and wanted to comment on some of the things that have been going on in the gay community and in the world at large.
On the day the homos disappear, life won't be the same without the queers. You may have your evening all arranged, but all the plans you made will have to change. Cause every decent restaurant will be closed, cause almost every waiter never showed. There won't be an awful lot to do, and every play on Broadway will shut down, cause hardly any actors can be found on the day the homos are removed.
You can get more information about the album Turn Up the Fun at www.romanofskyandphillips.com. And Romanofsky is spelled Romanofsky.
Scottish singer Horace McDonald generally just goes by Horace, and she's been described as an artist who wouldn't have been out of place on the Stax and Motown labels in their heyday.
Has released 7 full-length albums over the last 20 years. Her latest is called Red-Haired Girl.
I would say that the music's a little less rock and a little more eclectic now, and that is me, a bit more me, allowing myself to be myself. I tend to try and work with the song first, and that hopefully means that the song will end up on the right vehicle.
Find out more about the CD Red-Haired Girl by Horse at www.randon.org. That's www.randan.org.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at our new address, 594 Sawdust Road, number 273, Spring, Texas, 77380. Or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm Christopher David Trentum. Keep listening.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Rex Watkin with Bill Kelly, Heather Kitching, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Larry Block, Ron Romanofsky, and Horace performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of our weekly programs there. Email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For our associate producer, Lucia Chappell, and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on CFRU, Guelph, Ontario, WCRS, Columbus, Ohio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins, and Ward, Colorado, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
Pacifica Radio, KPFT, broadcasts Houston's most vibrant, unique, interactive, and sometimes controversial radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but catching it all can be tough. But there's hope. We now have the best of KPFT podcasts on iTunes and other services. Just visit kpft.org to subscribe to our weekly podcast, offering you recent interviews, live performances, and much more. Again, visit kpft.org to subscribe to the KPFT podcast. This is a commercial for your listeners, sponsored by Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Walensky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Here we go.
That song is called Whipping, and did the line, "Please, sir, give me more," tell you about the basis of that musical? That's the famous quote from the Dickens classic Oliver Twist, but it's never been so twisted. This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and welcome to my February show, and it will be devoted to new gay musicals. And frankly, until a few months ago, I didn't think there were many recent gay-themed musicals worthy of much attention. That's changed, as I hope you'll find out on this show. Let's start off with a musical called Twist. It was nominated for a New York Drama Desk Award for 2007, and has had dazzling productions in New York and Los Angeles. One reviewer described it as a goth, pop-rock, queer musical weaving Victorian erotica, dark comedy, and gender bending. What's not to like? It's kind of a cross between Oliver and Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's get to some more music from the show with this song called I Always Come Out on Top.
If you were out walking and a snake crossed your path, would you approach him or avoid him? Darling, you do the math. Take care where you step. Don't forget, God loves the meek. You may have lips like honey, but that does not mean you should speak. You better do as I tell you. You better know when to stop. Sought out trouble, and you have my address. Could I provide trouble? Use your little mind and guess. Take care where you step. I would hate to see you fall. You know I wouldn't trick you, but I could stand to see. Say I'm unusual, it could be, I suppose. But when one gets down to it, it's not me, it's just my clothes. We all like to delude ourselves, but there are no lies, the mirror tells. I can wear that dress like no one else. Clothing makes the man. Live young lads in need of correction, not an ounce of style or flair. If I'm not always sheer perfection, I always do know what to wear. Something golden at the waist, a corset very tightly laced. Trousers that were painted on me.
And the second song was Clothing Makes the Man. I believe these tracks were done by the New York cast, but in L.A., the show featured Alexandra Billings. You may remember that Alexandra is the transgendered singer and actress who gave me a delightful interview on my show last June. Coming up, I'm going to share with you a new musical that really excited me, along with comments from its composer. But this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. I've not had a musical in a long time grab me immediately the way this one did. It's called Bear, and that's spelled B-A-R-E. And to illustrate its impact, I'll tell you that an advance copy of the show was sent to me. I had no liner notes, no press kit. I had no idea what the show was about, so I just put it into my car CD player and checked it out. And it grabbed me immediately. Right away, I fell in love with the voices, the spirit, the story, and of course the music. I'm very pleased to bring you an interview with the composer of the show, Damon Introbartolo. I'll let Damon give just a brief description of the story as we hear the opening track.
Bear is a musical that tells the story of a group of seniors, boys and girls, in a Catholic school during their last semester. The central relationship in the story is that of Peter and Jason, who are challenged with keeping their love secret under the watchful eyes of their friends, their parents, and of God and the church.
Welcome all of you back. I hope that Christmas was a time of great joy for you and your families. Today is the Feast of the Epiphany, the celebration of the arrival of the three wise men to pay homage to the baby Jesus. I want you to imagine what that journey must have been like, a journey resting entirely on faith that they would know where they were going once they arrived. Imagine what a joy it must have been for them to have finally reached their destination. Seniors, you are coming to an end of 4 years at St. Cecilia's. You've lived together, studied together, and most importantly, prayed together. Strength for the journey. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us take a moment now to call to mind those times when we've fallen from God's grace. I confess
to Almighty God, to you, my brothers and sisters, that I've sinned through my own fault, in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. And I ask the blessed Mary of the Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters,
to pray for me to the Lord our God.
Yes, pray for him to the Lord your God.
One of these boys just ain't like the others.
Loves his female singers, loves to cook.
Looks around in gym.
It pleases him.
Thoughts enslave him. Somebody save him.
Choice
How, despite the best efforts of a single mother, a child can still go horribly, horribly wrong.
Mom!
For his 8th birthday, Peter asked for an easy bake oven. His father asked for a divorce. To me, the link between those two events was as strong as Peter's attraction to my makeup table. We sent him to Catholic boarding school, thinking it might help. But when he met his roommate, Jason, the two of them locked eyes, and I said to myself, Claire, you wanted grandchildren. Instead, you're going to get ambiguous Christmas cards from South Beach.
Please join us in singing our offertory hymn, number 279, A Bender Among Us.
There's a bender among us, he must be exposed. He'll kidnap our children, then take off their clothes. A bender among us, there's pink in our flock. A boy without conscience who's led by his...
Cockamamie. You're cockamamie that this isn't a choice.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us offer each other a sign of Christ's peace.
This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to this table.
Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word. And I shall be.
Lord, he is not worthy to receive.
Father?
Not at a funeral, Peter.
I'd like to start with just a, if we could take a moment, if maybe we were silent or we had spoken.
Mom, what is it? Ivy? Nadia? Matt?
Is it I, Lord? Is it I?
Let us go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Pop a puppy. How about a baseball bat? There's one in my pants. Oh, thank you. My mom, she said to never talk to strangers. So kiss is out of the question then. I'll take a chance. So where were you? Online? Asleep? Like half the congregation. So are we damned? Stayed awake as long as I could. Good Catholic, I say, we go fall asleep together. Do you? Should I bring my baseball bat? I think you should.
Jason,
you're a superstar, man.
Jason,
they couldn't guard you.
Jason,
it's always the same.
No, let's duck in here and
Jason, haven't date for prom yet.
Jason,
did you lose my number?
Jason,
this is all just a game. You and I, you take my hand, leaving me breathless. Take a look in these big blue eyes so you'll understand and know why we whisper in hallways. I'll be with you always. Running together forever, you and I. Tell me why I should trust you when the girls all lust to touch you. Cause when I have you near me, I go out of my mind. Need help there?
You're cute.
And it's tough to argue with the hard on. Think that you could lend a hand here if I had the time.
Jason,
Peter, don't you worry.
Jason,
cause I wouldn't leave you.
Jason,
not even for Zach.
Go,
hey, looking good, man.
Jason,
what we have is perfect.
Jason,
then we'll tell my mother.
Jason,
let's lay off the crack. You and I, you take my hand, leaving me breathless. Take a look in these big blue eyes so you'll understand. You know why we whisper in the hallways. I'll be with you always, running together forever, you and I. There's something that I want to ask you. Don't say no, just hear me out. After school, they hold auditions, something just to think about. And
God, you said the same thing last year. You know acting's not my thing. Plus, I might go out for baseball, and I neither dance nor sing.
You have never mentioned baseball. You haven't played since we were 12. And as for acting's not my thing, it's obvious it's something else.
I don't act.
I think we're the best actors school has ever seen.
Take a bow, and I'll
go. Just a thought. Forget I brought it up.
Now think about tonight, when everything is right. We'll shut off all the lights
and cuddle in bed and see how far we get.
Is that supposed to shut me up?
Yes.
Sure.
You and I, you take my hand, leaving me breathless. Take a look in these big blue eyes and you'll understand. And know why we whisper in hallways. I'll be with you always, running together. Miss me. Forever you and I.
We just heard the two characters, Jason and Peter, as sung by James Snyder and Matt Doyle. Damon, could you expand on the show a little?
Okay, let's see. Bear was born around 1998. And at the time, I was just hearing in my head imaginary conversations between someone that was like a Peter and someone that was like a Jason. And from there, I started composing without any words. And then John came in and started putting some words to the stuff and basically began from that, writing very much from the inside out. You know, John came up with the triangle that is Peter, Jason, and Ivy, and I threw in Nadia and Matt. And John created Sister Chantel. He knew her, actually. And so we just kind of went in together, and John and I actually have our, you know, a long relationship with the church. And, you know, I was an altar boy, and I got my harmonic chops playing organ for years and till I was 17. And, you know, I had a boyfriend in high school. We kept it very, very, very secret. So I was kind of doing the Jason thing as well. And John had girlfriends really throughout college. I was out at that time. I was really out at that time. And so John was kind of also living that those kind of dual personalities. And it was, I think, very much a reflection of what John was going through and what I hadn't dealt with. So that's kind of just what went into it. But I wouldn't say there was one singular inspiration for it. It was just like I was getting these, you know, tunes in my head or harmonic progressions in my head, and I had to put them somewhere. So that is how Bear the Musical started.
Well, the listeners need to know at this point that the John you've been talking about is John Hartmere, who wrote the lyrics. How has your being gay influenced the creation of Bear, and has that helped or hindered the long journey to get the musical to its recent production?
Well, in terms of being an openly gay man, I think it's influenced several aspects of Bear, in the sense that I mean, not only musically drawing on, you know, those feelings and drawing on those kind of trajectories that the characters go through, but moreover, in a practical sense, in terms of production, it's I think everyone would be very surprised how much general homophobia exists in this particular aspect of the, I don't want to say the music business, but the, I guess, theater. You know, it definitely had to come to terms again with the fact that, you know, this show is very much an extension of activism. You know, people's activism manifests itself in different ways. This is how I can do it. I mean, it saddens me in one way that it's a constant uphill battle. And you also have to consider, too, not segregating yourself. Or, you know, the gay and lesbian community has a tendency now to segregate itself when it's convenient, so that you end up playing to an all-gay audience or an all-lesbian audience. And I don't really buy into that. I think Harvey Milk had the right idea in terms of integration and constant integration. And, like, you know, you look at the very, very successful African-American civil rights movement, and the reason that it's so successful is because of the, you know, passionate and defiant methods of integration that have gone on, you know, really victorious. Now it just kind of seems like, you know, we shoot ourselves in the foot segregating ourselves away. So I'd say being gay definitely helped write the show, certainly. Was not necessarily an asset in terms of its production. Was not necessarily an asset in terms of its the album production. It's kind of a break-even type of score.
Tell us about the song Best Kept Secret.
Best Kept has been around since the original draft of the show, and after the rave, John and I felt that Peter and Jason needed to have, you know, ultimately what was an uncomfortable conversation, especially for Peter. So Best Kept Secret is that song. You can hear my affinity for the Max Martin style of writing that informs so much of the pop music of the mid-90s. Just this little tune, and the bridge is the that whole... Hold on, I'm actually in front of my piano, so, you know, when you have... that thing. That's also the bridge to Warning, you know, where Claire's like, you know, what if I like this song I heard before? That type of thing. So, I don't really sing. And so I try to... That made sense to me that, you know, and Peter turns to Jason and is like trying to convince him that everything's okay. And then Claire, in a similar situation, is trying to convince herself that, you know, she's talking to the two sides of herself there in Warning. So that is the story of Best Kept Secret.
I know this world can have a place for us if we just try to find a way to trust. Time will be kind. In a fantasy I dream awake, but reality is give and take. You take what you can, you give time a chance. We have to wait until the world fast asleep. I'll wipe away the doubt and show you why we keep the best kept secret, the best kept secret of all. All I ever want is there in your eyes. They tell me I'm alright and I realize I always knew. Whisper words when we're alone at night. I wanna hear them in the morning light. And with love on our side, maybe we'd be alright. Beneath a million stars, there's no need to pretend. I look around tonight and wonder why we can't end. Best kept secret. Best kept secret. Just seeing how no one in there cared
dancing there. You have to give the world a chance to what? To see how deep the world can cut. This is all a fantasy, then we go back to school. Just think it through.
I think it through and then you shut me out. You're such a coward
and you're a fool.
Can't go on forever this way. All this forever, can't you live for today? We have to grow up. There's so much more to love. It's best kept secret.
It's time
for you to get on the phone and call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, and
the luck of the draw, you may talk to Deborah.
You can talk to Deborah, that's right.
Now, we don't know whether that luck is to talk to Deborah or not to talk to Deborah.
Well, the beauty is that you need to pledge. You need to call in and give a donation to KPFT. And support Queer Voices, as well as the other wonderful programming we have on KPFT.
Right.
So much diverse. Anything you want to listen to is on KPFT. You definitely won't hear what you hear on KPFT on any other radio station here in Houston. That's almost a guarantee.
Right. I mean, such great programs as Democracy Now!, After Hours, they do some great... The Technology Bites is on Wednesday evenings. Mm-hmm. I love that show. That's
I
really
listen to
good.
That. I like that.
Total geek in me. There are so many different music programs, just really, really great variety here on KPFT. But where else can you hear information about the queer community? I mean, you know, and it's interesting. Originally, the show title was called Lesbian and Gay Voices, and then we decided to change the name. And I thought, well, maybe we'd get some flack about it. Nobody's complained about it. The Queer Voices were very inclusive. It's an inclusive show. We try to cover a lot of different issues, issues about health, issues about the politics. I know we talk a lot about politics because it has a lot to do with our community. Talks about, you know, the fact that the ghetto is sort of changing. The Montrose is changing. And it's rather interesting that, you know, less percentage of our community, from what we understand, lives in the Montrose. There isn't always that connection. Now with the internet, now that younger people are a little bit more comfortable about who and what they are, that they can go out with their straight friends and their partner and their straight friends, there isn't so much of a connection in the community. Well, we try to bring that connection to you. Every Monday night, the issues that we cover on this show, you know, Deborah's been doing some lesbian issues.
Right.
We talk about lesbian health issues. You just take a month's worth of stuff, and we really have a variety. And one of the things we really try to do on the show is cover a lot of the local issues that don't get coverage anywhere else.
No. You don't have that. And we did a number of series on transgender issues and gay issues. The entertainment section, you know, our local, the band, the orchestra, the chorals. Chorales, I mean, all of those people, those are organizations.
Oh, talking about our band, our orchestra pit out here. We don't have one.
Yeah.
but talking about the culture and the music.
Exactly.
I mean, we are incredibly lucky to have JD do what he does. Nowhere else on the entire queer dial across the country that there is a person like JD who works and does the research and talks about the history of music in our community. And he does these theme shows that are absolutely incredible. They are, you know, and they're archived on his webpage. Some of these people that were the pioneers that he interviews, You know, nobody else is doing this.
Yeah, he is, and you heard the first half of the show of his show for tonight, and when we finish our pitch, we'll go back to it. But J.D. spends a lot of time. It's, you know, queer music heritage, something that you will never find anywhere else. Right here on Queer Voices, right here on KPFT, that's where it's coming to you. It's that special nature of our station here and our show that brings these things to you in a way that no one else can or no one else will. And so pick up your phone, call us, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, and pledge as little as $10 a month or $10. There are plenty of gifts for those who want to pledge or donate more. But the more important thing, you're doing it because you want to support your radio station. KPFT is a community-sponsored station. We don't have advertising. We are supported by ourselves. Our community supports it. The GLBT community supports it. Those are listeners. Being listener-supported gives us the flexibility and the options to do what is of interest to those who are listening.
So call us. Call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Isn't it odd that KPFT studios are in Montrose, right in the heart of Montrose? You know, the parade almost passes the station by on Pride Day. Where else can you find out that type of information on what's going on? And not only on Queer Voices, but also on After Hours. Jimmy Carper does a great show and talks about what's going on in the community. He actually has sometimes longer discussions about certain things. And his show's different than ours. But it does cover the different issues that we don't always cover.
Well, also, you know, the KPFT has a colorful heritage here. And that's not including the bombings and shots through windows. For some reason, there's always that element that maybe we're saying something that people don't want to hear, but it also is things that people need to hear, and you can only hear it on KPFT because it's, you know, we're Radio Free Houston. You should take the time, pick up your phone, pledge, go online to kpft.org, and you can pledge there. You can donate there. Do what you can to support our station, our show specifically, but the station KPFT. You can hear us at 90.1 FM, but also down in Galveston at 89.5, our sister station. Plus, we're now with 100,000 watts. You can hear us better wherever you are. As our community, the GLBT community, is spread out throughout the area, this is your link to your home right here in the Montrose at KPFT Radio. So call 713-526-5738 and pledge. Make your donation now.
And it's time now. Let's go back to Queer Music Heritage.
This is J.D. Doyle, and I was glad to interrupt QMH for that pledge break. Pledging is important to keep the diversity in programming you like on the air. Now, back to the musical Bear and my interview with its composer, Damon Interbartolo. I've got another question about the Jason and Peter duet, not only because they are the gay characters, but because I love the voices of those two actors. Tell us about the song, Ever After.
It's the progression is based on what I call the fairy tale thread in Bear, and it's you know, it's basically just these eight chords that carry this song. Ever After has been in the show since 1999. It was a moment that didn't exist before, and it was about getting Peter to that point where he couldn't, you know, he knew that he had to address with Jason his unhappiness. And, you know, I really feel for Peter in this moment because Peter really hasn't made, you know, I mean, to have someone like Jason in your life at any age is fantastic, but to have someone like Jason like that, your junior and senior year, Peter must be really unhappy to even, you know, tempt fate here. I don't think Peter's expecting this, obviously, and, you know, his reaction in the lyrics is pretty evident, and it's kind of saying, I don't know who you are anymore, and all that I wanted was you, and it's sad, obviously, and...
You stand before me, and I barely know you. Is it so easy to leave? Where is the boy who said I was his soulmate? Where is the boy I believed? We climbed an escape, grown from the seeds that you planted. You slew all my giants, ignoring your own. And now that they haunt you, I'm left with my courage alone. So much for our ever after. I thought the good guys would triumph. I trusted the hero. I didn't hear his goodbye. I guess it was lost in the talk of a straight acting coward. Who are you to go and blame this all on me? You're the one who went ahead and changed the rules. What? You found your way and now it's all okay. Is it that simple then? Peter, put away the fairy tales. Clock is striking midnight, can't you hear? Not all tales have happy endings. We can't keep pretending, cause there's no such thing as heroes who are queer.
One of the dramatic and telling songs was between Peter and his mother, Claire.
The song See Me has been in the show as long as the show's been around. And it's the song in the second act where Peter gets the wherewithal, the courage, or maybe just, you know, the fear is just eating inside of him too much. I don't know. And he tries to come out to his mother, Claire. Claire is not hearing it. She knows what's going on, obviously, in the song, but like most moms, just doesn't really want to hear it or converse about it at any rate. I remember when I did this conversation, both John and I have done this conversation with our mothers. I think this is probably a little more literal, his interpretation, because the way the song is written, I actually was living with a guy I was going to marry. And so that's kind of why I did it. At age 19, my mom didn't speak to me for like 10 days. So, See Me, the riff was written, you know, that whole thing existed. And John, he didn't really write lyrics to it. I just kind of made them work and married them to it, and it's very multimetered. Obviously, it goes into, I think, 9 or 11 different time signatures throughout. I did that because it was more conversational, and I didn't really feel like restricting us to, you know, 2-3 or 4-4, or, you know, 4-8 or 3-8 or 6-8, for that matter. And you know, obviously, there's a lot of, I mean, a lot of thematic material. It gets answered by this song. Anyway, so See Me is Peter's coming out moment, and it isn't beautiful, really. It isn't perfect, and that is definitely how I remember mine.
Hello?
Mother, I need to talk to you.
Peter? Honey, I was just gonna call you.
Something that you need to know.
Gone a week, I miss you already.
I'm just gonna spit it out.
How are rehearsals going?
You probably guessed it years ago. Still, it's kind of hard to say.
Peter, we're so excited about the play.
Something that I've spent so long not saying.
I called your father. He swore he'd be
there. Sometimes it's on the tip of my tongue, but only spoken aloud, alone, while I'm praying.
I'd like to tape it, but honestly, Peter, I'm not going to be one of those parents.
All I ask is an open mind.
Peter, perhaps now isn't the best time.
It's such a lonely bridge to cross.
I'm taking Nana to lunch.
I've searched for answers on my own.
She's so proud of you, Peter.
I find that I'm completely lost.
Mom, please, don't say anything else. Just listen. I don't know where to start. God, I can't even get the words out. It's like they're all jumbled together. Mom, I love you. And
Berkeley took their wait list. When they called, I almost died. Would you really go to Berkeley? I didn't know that you'd applied.
Mom, please listen to me.
Where did Notre Dame go? I didn't know that you withdrew. People will be disappointed. Have you really thought this through?
Mom, this is important. Mom, you need to listen. Please don't shut me out here. Mom, you need to see me.
Peter, please, I'm so busy here. Let me call you later, dear.
God, this is so hard to say. I'm so afraid you'll turn away. Mom, I'm...
Peter, please, I need a break. Whatever it is, we'll have to wait. I'm going to hang up now. I really need to hang up now.
Don't hang up, this took such courage. I'm dying here, I'm all alone. I know you know, you know what I'm saying. Just let me tell you. Mom, I'm...
Peter, please, I can't solve all your problems.
Mother, you know nothing of them. And I'm not expecting you to find solutions. Just to be my mom and my friend.
I assure you that I am in no state of mind to discuss anything right now.
I've been waiting to tell you this since I was 12.
Peter, I'm going to go now.
You don't want to hear it. You don't want to see me. Can't bear to see me.
Peter, you tend to dramatize.
There's a reason for that, Mother. Open your
Peter,
eyes.
Peter, please, I have to go now. I really need to go right now.
Mom, when are you going to call?
Soon, Peter. This week. This weekend.
We can work this out together.
Maybe before then you'll work whatever this is out.
This is always on my mind.
I have so much on my mind.
Please don't hang up.
I have to go.
Please see me.
Tell us about the song Bear.
The song Bear has had many, many lyrical incarnations. It's been in many different keys. Basically, it's just your, you know, it starts without the 6/8 kind of waltzy feel, and I tried to put that motivic idea as much as I could in the score because I kind of like to lead up to that. There's also vocally... Peter and Jason find themselves competing, as they do in You and I and Best Kept Secret, and kind of seeing, you know, that climb in the bridge where they're, you know, doing that stuff. And I think Peter goes, you know, each of us standing bare. Was that, yeah, high G sharp. So it's nice that Peter goes out on that stage with that hope that idea at the end when, you know, they're doing the whole, you know, from the star thing, which Matt and James do so beautifully on the record. It's like, you know, Peter's going out on that stage with a little more hope than I think he would have otherwise.
Do you remember the day that you met me? I swear it was yesterday. I knew with a glance that you were the question and you were the answer, that the world would make sense again if I held your hand. Someday you'll look back and I hope you'll remember the moment of truth when I knew who I was. How did I learn the truth you gave to me?
I will always remember the first stolen moment. There you were kissing me and time seemed to freeze. Now I stand at a crossroad and I stare at a question. If prayer were the answer, I'd fall on my knees. But forward is calling and I cannot stay here. A parting of souls as I try to move on. How do I forget the dream you shared with me? I've never been this bad.
Secrets reveal here in a world where there's safety in falsehood. I have discovered the one thing that's real, that I love you and I loved you from the start. And if you hold that close to you, we'll never be apart.
I want to mention the unique packaging for the CD release. It comes in a DVD case with the two CD set from the show, and also on a DVD, a fascinating documentary about the genesis of Bear. What is next for Bear the Musical?
What is next for Bear the Musical? Oh, not the film question. Well, you know, Theatrical Rights Worldwide owns the exclusive stage rights. So they have been very great in getting this show out there, and really flattered and happy with how many different companies are doing it in different parts of the United States and indeed the world. I mean, you know, to have it in like Dallas, Seattle, Chicago, Cincinnati, it's neat. It's definitely special to both John and myself. And so I think that is what's next for it. I think rushing into anything, I've learned to accept that when you have a completely original story, you have to take a really original way and an original route in terms of having your work accessible to other people. And TRW, this company, is really, really great in thinking outside of the box and, you know, really helped us put the album together the way we wanted to do it, and were great in terms of handling how I wanted the score orchestrated. And so I don't really have an answer about what is next for it. I'm enjoying what it's doing now, which is the record is getting to people's hands and their ears, and you know, the shows are getting mounted and put up with all types of different directors and different casting and different imaginations of you know, song scenarios and stuff. And then that Bear movie has certainly been thrown around for a number of years, and I'm sure will come again, once again come to the surface. And I mean, we'll see. You know, there's no sense in rushing into anything without being, you know, happy you're doing it. But I'm really happy how it seems to be going so far. So we will definitely see.
I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening. And I want to especially thank Damon Interpretolo for the wonderful interview. Now, I admit, I was a bit unsure how to pronounce his name, so I got him to help me on that.
How to say my name? This is like the scene in Private Parts between Howard Stern and Paul Giamatti, so, where he's like, W-M-B-C. So here you go, ready? Intrabartolo. Just like it's spelt. Intrabartolo. Intrabartolo. Not Intrabartolo. Not Intrabartolo. Intrabartolo. Thank you, by the way, for having me speak on queer music heritage. And I'm very flattered. So thank you very much again.
You can find out more about the show at their website, www.bearthemusical.com. And, of course, at my site, www.queermusicheritage.com. And, as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. Now, I know I've not done justice to the music of Bear. There were many, many other outstanding songs, and the show also showcases several female characters and their stories, all done wonderfully by the talented cast. And in the show, at the Catholic High School, they are staging a production of Romeo and Juliet, which parallels the tragedy in the plot. Yes, the story does not end happy. But I wanted to end this show with perhaps the most upbeat number in the production. In it, Sister Chantel is overseeing the play rehearsals and has this conversation with Peter. From Bear the Musical, the track is called God Don't Make No Trash.
I should go.
Sit down. We're going to talk about what's bothering you, because this production has got to be on it. Sister Chantel don't direct no dinner theater.
You wouldn't understand.
Peter, honey, I think I've been around enough priests to understand you loud, proud, and clear. Sit down.
I don't know what God wants from me.
You don't have to say another word. You just listen to me.
Sometimes it seems...
You don't have to say another word. Just listen to me.
When God sits on his mighty throne and says, what shall I make today? He don't grab a drawing board. Ain't no mistake. Some man don't play. He simply opens up his heart. I'll come and tumble in a word.
That's nice of you to say, but I...
Uh-huh, baby, shut up. God don't make the same, you see, or everyone would look like me. People need to stop and think. It ain't a rainbow without the pink. Ignorant folk playing judge and jury. They're the one that's gonna know God's spirit. Cause God don't make no trash.
I'm going to be late, sir.
Boy, you better believe it, that God is on your side. He'll be your strength, your rock, your truth, your everlasting God. Well, you better believe it. Some folks will act a fool. So caught up with hate that they forget the golden rule, yeah. Well, you better believe it. You're who you need to be. Cause love is love, love is true. Love is God and love will set you free. Every gay man.
And buy your album at BearTheAlbum.com.
Yes, God don't make no trash. Want to thank Deborah Bradford. She donated here just a little while ago. Thank you, Deborah. We all here at Queer Voices want to thank you. She says she's inspired by us. Well, we're inspired by your contribution. Thank you. This is Queer Voices.
You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.